welcome back to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and I'm thrilled you're with us for another episode with another extraordinary mom. So every week, I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. And I love hearing from this wide variety of moms who are all doing extraordinary things in the lives of their children. We are all doing such a great job, and chances are, if you are listening to this podcast, you are an extraordinary mom. I want to thank everyone that has emailed me and commented on these episodes from Maternal Mental Health Month. Like I said before, I was a little iffy if I wanted to do a whole month dedicated to this really quite heavy topic, but I love this feedback that I'm getting, that as you listen to these podcasts, you are feeling less alone, or you know somebody who's been through something like this, and you so appreciate that on the podcast we're bringing to light these really difficult topics that affect so many people. Our guests are so brave to get on and share their stories and the lessons that they've learned, and the great thing is we can learn from them. So thank you so much for all of your support. It means the world to me. Today we're going to talk about something a little bit different, but that still ties in well with things that can contribute to our mental health, but it's the idea of self-image and kind of beauty redefined. And sometimes we look in the mirror and, you know, frankly, postpartum, we don't always like what we see. And that's a hard thing to reconcile as your body's going through so many changes and your hormones are going through changes and your life is undergoing so much. But today, my guest Melanie Burke is going to share with us her view and her journey on how she's been able to come to a place of appreciating her body and the things that it's been able to accomplish as it's brought life into the world. She has three daughters, and what she wants to teach her girls and developing their healthy self-image. It's a critical conversation to have and an important thought topic to just think, where am I at on this journey as well? So I hope you enjoy my interview with Melanie. All right. I would like to welcome Melanie Burke to the show today. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. So glad to be here.
Oh, thanks so much for making the time. You are pregnant with your fourth baby and you have three little girls. So time is a hot commodity right now, isn't it?
I think it's a hot commodity for all moms, time and sleep, right?
Yeah, that is exactly true. That's exactly true. Well, I'm on the East Coast, but I'm originally from San Diego, and you are in San Diego right now, you lucky duck.
Yes, it's so much fun to be here.
Yay, that's great. Well, Melanie and I grew up in the same suburb of San Diego and kind of loosely knew each other throughout the growing up years and whatnot, but reconnected once we were both moms. And I remember running into you in the nursing room and in church when we both had a baby. And it's like, oh, full circle. This is awesome.
It's so true. You just never know.
You never know where life's going to take you. And who's going to be a great inspiration to you down the road. But part of, I mean, we're going to get more into your background and whatnot, but part of what I love about you, Melanie, is not only have you been very successful in your graphic design and your business aspects of your life, but the portrayal you have of motherhood, namely on social media, and just the joy and intention you put behind your mothering of your children, it's really inspiring. But you're also really realistic. And that's what really inspires me on a day-to-day basis. When people that I admire get real and say, you know, I'm struggling too, or I waver on this as well, and this is what I'm doing to get through it. I love that kind of honesty, and that sticks out so much with you, Melanie. So I just really appreciate that authenticity that you put out there, that even people that look like they have it all together and they have this charmed and wonderful life, they're continuing to try and evolve as a mom, and they're struggling with certain things as well. And the most important thing is just to be honest with one another, because that's how we really can cheer each other on. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, and I think that this notion of people having it together or charmed life, it's been really interesting is I'm a graphic designer, so I'm able to work with so many different brands and mommy bloggers or design bloggers. And I think the biggest thing I've learned is that we're all doing the best we can and we all have different struggles. And even if we can't see those struggles, it doesn't mean they're there, So I've really just tried to always be open about what I'm going through just because it helps me. Yeah. It really helps me. And I think it's nice to know we're all in it together and we're all doing the best we can,
Absolutely.
So we can all do a little better, but we're all doing better than we think we are.
I like that. That's perfect. That's perfect. Well, for those listeners that don't know you yet, Melanie, why don't you just give listeners a little background on yourself?
Okay, perfect. So I grew up in California, as Jessica said, in San Diego, and then I ended up going to college at BYU in Utah and pursued a degree in graphic design and a minor in business. During that time, I also served a mission for my church in Brazil, and then when I returned home, you know, eventually met my husband, and I don't want to go into too much detail for anyone, but we ended up, so we got married, and then he changed careers. He was an engineer at that time, and when he changed careers, we realized we were going to have a lot of school in front of us, and so I knew that we wanted a family, but we also needed to, you know, make ends meet, and so it kind of forced me to start businesses and work really hard while juggling motherhood. So I don't feel like, you know, some people have this great idea and they're like, oh, this is what I need to do. This is the mission of my life. And honestly, for me, it's always just been like, how are you going to pay the bills? You know? And so it's been a driving force, but then it's kind of turned into this such a blessing. So I've been able to be involved in lots of different companies and work as a graphic designer doing logos and brands and websites. And work with a lot of really inspiring people, and which has in turn helped me in my businesses. And then I have done that whilst juggling motherhood. Mostly, I would say, like, I'm a mom who does design on the side, but I happen to also work really hard.
Yeah.
So, but of course, the joy of my life and the whole reason for what's most important to me are my children. So I have three girls, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And then I have a little boy. Miracles happen on the way.
due
in a few months, which we're really excited about. And, you know, we're all juggling. And so I think people, you know, it's funny because a lot of people don't know about my design business, but they know me as a mother, or vice versa, or they know me as a designer and not as a mother. And I think that I'm the whole package, and I'm all of that, and it's not always clean or beautiful, or you know, it's always a little messy, but I find so much joy in the juggling of it, because I love being able to play with my kids all day, and then I love being able to put them down and then, you know, focus on my design work and work. So,
yeah. Well, and I like how you use the term juggling instead of balancing, because
yes.
I think when we try and use the term balance, like everything has to be in a perfect proportion to one another, we're going to let ourselves down all the time. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're trying to juggle and balance everything that you have going on, even if your only responsibilities are within the home, that you're going to let yourself down even there. But imagine having to leave the home to work, or to work from home like you do, and you know, juggle all these things. It's like some days your work is going to require more of you. Some days your kids are going to require more of you. And some days it's like, how did I even make anything happen today?
Yes. Well, and I think it's funny because that is probably the question I get most.
Yeah.
Like, how do you balance it? And it's honestly a question that I can't answer for anybody, because first off, it's not everybody's balance, or I like that, you know, it's juggling, because balance looks different for everybody. And it looks even different for yourself from week to week, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also think that's only something that you can decide, and it's trial and error, you know, because everybody's kids are different, everybody's situation is different, you know, not even just your kids, but the ages of your kids and activities and their personalities and your marriage and or you're not married, you know, it's so different for everybody that I think it's impossible to look at someone else's life and try to balance your life or juggle your life like they're doing it, because that's not fair to yourself or your talents or your hardships or whatever you're going through, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I think when you're in the middle of your own life, you feel like you're the only one where things are kind of out of whack. And it might look like other people have things more in balance, But yeah. That's not necessarily true, you know? And so yeah. I think it's important to realize every single day is a reevaluation of how you're going to get through that day. You know, who's going to, yeah. you know, which parent is going to get their kids to soccer practice? You know, okay, mom was up 15 times during the night with the baby, and so mom needs to sleep in. And it's just a yes. constant flux. And so I think the more we, like, lower our expectations and our feeling for, like, being too rigid, the more our days have a potential to go just fine. You know, it doesn't have to be the yes. best day ever, but they can go fine if we just kind of bring it down a level.
Well, and the moment that I think that I have my life in balance, yeah. something changes, yeah. you know? So it's yeah. like, you can never be like, I have it all together, you know, like, I just yeah. think it comes down to priorities and knowing your priorities and then letting the other little pieces go. And every day, some of those little pieces that go are different. You know, sometimes yes. you can get it all done and you're super mom. And then some weeks, you know, you're like happy if you got a shower in during the week, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. and it's just the ebb and flow of life, and that's okay. Yes, and so don't absolutely. Judge any one day too harshly, absolutely. You know, because tomorrow could be totally different and it probably will be.
It is. You just have to be really gentle on yourself and motherhood. I think that's like yeah. one of the biggest lessons I've learned. Is, you know, being gentle and loving yourself
yeah.
as you learn, you know.
And has that been a process for you to learn that lesson? I totally agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, but you know, it's interesting. It's like what sometimes the hardest part about being a mom is, you know, your children, mm-hmm. not because you don't love them, but because they're growing, they're evolving. And, you know, for as many parenting books as you read or whatever you listen to, you know, you're the only one who has that child.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you're learning from them, you're learning how to raise them. But one thing I love about children is they're very forgiving. Mm-hmm. And so I think being a mom and seeing how forgiving my children are of me or of each other, and of themselves, that's been very, like, beautiful for me to remind myself to be as a child, you know, like forgiving of myself as well, you know?
Yeah, and I think children are far more in the moment than we are able to be. And that goes along with that forgiveness. Like, when they're in the moment, they can forgive and move on.
Yes.
Somehow, it's a lot harder for us to truly forgive and move on, but we keep kind of sliding back to that moment where we hold that grudge or didn't like how that thing went or whatever. It's like, to be able to move forward and or be just in the moment, that's a beautiful thing to see from the eyes of our children.
It is. It is. And yeah, no, I feel like the older I get, and my mom used to say this to me and I didn't understand it. She went, and I'm sure that as I get older, I'll even understand. The older I get, the more I see, like, the worse, you know, like, I think when I was a young mom, I was like, I have it all together. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the more kids I have, the more I realize, like, well, I am doing the best I can, you know?
Yeah.
And you do, you really have to let go. And, I always like let go and let God, you know?
Yeah. Well, so. And even though, like, I thought I had it way more together, or I thought it was possible to know everything as a new mom, yeah. like, I like the mom I am better today.
Oh,
where
yes.
my house is messier, my, you know, we might be a little late to things sometimes, like, just get, like, dinner's not always made, you know, it's not always well balanced. But you know what? I way prefer the version of motherhood that I'm living today than the one that, you know, adhered so strictly to nap schedules and, you know, you know, like, yes. my kids are only going to watch one show a day. And I mean, let's just be real. That does not happen in my house, you know?
Yeah.
So just letting the evolution happen and realizing what are your priorities as a mom and then living those out and just being authentic and allowing yourselves to change.
Yes. And finding joy. I feel yeah. like, I think that having more children and having my children get older has taught me how quickly it goes by
yes.
and has helped me be patient with myself and also just live in the moment and find joy in the moment, because it just, I feel like every child goes faster and faster.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how it's possible, but it feels
yeah.
that way.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Well, you had some difficult pregnancies. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, just getting your children here was challenging for you. So tell me about early motherhood. Let's go back to the time that your sweet first baby was in your womb. Was it everything you hoped it would be?
Well, so I, for whatever reason, I had a feeling that my pregnancies were going to be difficult. I had had, well, and if you don't mind me stepping back just a bit past that, like one thing I know that we're going to talk a little bit about motherhood and body image and self-esteem here. And I want to step back just a little bit farther. You know, growing up, I had always been an athlete, and this is why Jessica and I didn't know each other very much growing up. She knew a lot of my siblings who were very musical.
Exactly.
And I was kind of a jock, and I mean, I was a nice jock.
Yeah.
But I was just in my own world, and I found my whole identity from doing sports, and I loved them, and I was really, really wrapped around them. And then in my end of my junior year, I tore 3 ligaments in my knee, and I tore them several times in a row. So it ended up being like a period of years where I ended up having 6 knee surgeries, and it was, I think it was a, ended up being a big blessing. Well, I don't think it ended up being a big blessing, because up until that point, I had always wrapped my body image around, my accomplishments. And so at that point, you know, when I was having surgery and I couldn't work out, I was, you know, couch bound for a long time, my body really started to fluctuate, you know, back and forth in weight. And I couldn't control it. I think it was my first experience where like everything was out of control. And so that really started to soften and make me search for who I really was and what I found my self-esteem, you know, in.
Yeah.
And so it was something that I struggled with for many, many years. Not always in a bad way. I had a lot of roommates with eating disorders. I mean, for whatever reason, that was like just every year in college, I had someone with eating disorders that was near and dear to me. And so I never struggled at that point, but I had a hard time really loving myself. And so I think that, I was patient with myself and I loved myself, but I struggled with accepting my body and myself. And it wasn't until coming back to the pregnancy, when I got pregnant with my daughter, Maggie, I was so sick. I have what's called hyperemesis, where it's, you know, you're just so, so sick and you're just constantly throwing up, and really, really struggled to gain weight, you know, and every pound was such a victory for me, you know. And after going through that whole pregnancy, I just, you know, what was really transformative for me is when she was born, you know, I think every new mom, when that baby's placed into your arms, there's just this overwhelming love that you didn't know existed in this world, you know, that you have for this perfect being. And as she started to get older, it really, for whatever reason, dawned on me and hit home to me that I had so much love for her and for her body, and she was perfect in my eyes. And I just felt so much love for her. And as I was dealing with postpartum, you know, body kind of fluctuating, I remember one day holding her and just looking in the mirror and thinking how beautiful, wonderful she was. And I didn't care that my body looked like it'd been through a train wreck.
Yes. Yes.
And realizing that I had so much love for her, but I didn't have that same love for my body. I realized that. And I also realized that I never wanted her to feel the way she felt about her body, the way I felt about mine.
Yeah. And I've heard before people saying, like, think about your inner monologue. What if you heard your daughter saying those same things to herself? Like, it would, like, break your heart. So why would we do that to ourselves? But we all do.
Yes.
We all do to some degree about something.
Yes. Yeah. And I just think as, you know, as a young mother, I never thought I would have all girls, like a bunch of girls. And so having all girls, it made me really reflect on, like, how can I help them? Like, what have I struggled with that I could keep them from struggling? And, you know, And I, at that time, I remember reading a quote from Kate Winslet, which is hilarious because I never pay attention to celebrities or anything. And I don't know why this stuck with me at that moment, but I read that growing up, she had never heard a positive thing about her body or about, like, she never heard women talking positive about their own bodies. And it made me start to reflect on the messages I heard from women I loved. And I kind of realized that, like, it is so embedded in our culture to tell others, like, you are beautiful, you look amazing, but we cannot, it is so hard for us to say that about ourselves. Yeah. And at that time, as I was reflecting, I could hardly think of anybody that I knew. And I, and not to say that I don't have amazing people around me, but at that time, I couldn't think of anybody who I regularly heard them saying that about themselves with confidence. Like, I love my body. I feel beautiful. I just think that we have such a hard time saying, I messages, I positive messages about our bodies and about ourselves. And even though we tell others those positive messages, it's so hard for us to say that about ourselves. And so at that time I realized there was a day, and I don't remember exactly the day, I wish I would have written it down or something, but there was a time that I, realizing that I had this beautiful daughter, and I realized I needed to change. And I realized that the change had to start with me.
Yep.
And so I made a promise to myself that I would never say something verbally out loud negative about my body.
Wow.
And of course I would like to say that I've been perfect in that, but no one's perfect.
Yeah,
in that.
Right.
And it took years. That was 6 years ago, over 6 years ago. And it has been transformative for me.
Now, is that just the words that come out of your mouth, or have you had to also seek to retrain your brain?
You have to retrain your brain, and it's been a process. It's not like the next day I was like, I love myself, I'm amazing.
Yeah, right.
My body is great. Because, of course, during that time, I've had 3 more pregnancies, a miscarriage, and postpartum, and, you know, my body has fluctuated so much during that time.
Right.
And so it's constantly learning. But I will say, the last 3 years, I have been very good about not saying out loud. Like, I've really trained myself, and my husband knows this, and he'll catch me and he'll help me, you know, if I say something. And, but of course, then there's the inner dialogue that you also have to change. Right. And so it goes hand in hand, but you kind of have to start, like, first I had to stop the verbal.
Right.
And I would say it, and then I'd be like, oh, dang it, I said it without even realizing it, because we say it, like, that was the biggest shock to me,
right,
is how often I would say it without realizing it.
Right. Yes.
And so that was the first thing, is stopping the verbal out loud things, you know, not, and sometimes to other people, but, and we do it even in a joking way without realizing it, right? Like,
yes,
we'll be with friends and they'll be saying, like, oh, I'm frustrated with my body. And we'll be joking, we'll be like, oh, I hear you, I can't stand this part, or, you know, and we're doing it in a joking way, but that adds up. It
right.
adds up. And we don't know what our daughters and our sons hear. We don't know what other people hear.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Like, we're supposed to be self-deprecating, not confidence building.
Absolutely.
What's up with that? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that as a whole, as women in our society, the norm and the accepted is that you don't say positive things about yourself. Like, when was the last time you heard a woman say, like, actually, I really love my thighs?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yes.
I really love my body. And it doesn't mean we have to be vain, and I'm not saying that it doesn't mean that, like, I don't believe in working out or eating healthy.
Right.
I believe in all those things, and I think we can all, you know, there's hand in hand, and they work together. But I also feel that you can diet all you want, you can work out all you want, but if you don't truly love yourself wherever you are in your body, then all of those things aren't going to matter.
You're never going to be enough. You're never going to be skinny enough. You're never going to have the perfect look. Like, once you get what you think you want, it's still not going to give you what you thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because you have done it out of a motivation for pleasing or loving yourself, and that love, changing that's not going to bring that love. You know, you have to kind of cleanse the inner vessel or whatever, you know?
Yes.
But one thing that I also, like, I remember during that time, I read about anciently how women were compared to the moon, their beauty to the moon. And I remember that being very healing to me, because realizing that I could love myself in all my shapes, that I didn't mean that I had to love myself after I was, you know, done, like, you know, a year after having the baby, when I was back to whatever normal is. I'm not really even sure what normal is.
Yeah.
You know, at this point in my life, I'm not
to,
sure.
To stretch out and then spring back. Right. Stretch out, spring back. I mean, there's only exactly. So much you can do.
Everything just kind of relocates every time, and yeah. I never know how it's going to end up. But it doesn't matter because I've learned that I've learned to love different aspects of that growth, you know, and I've learned to let go. And so thinking of that, often reminding myself of that, like the moon is beautiful no matter what shape it is.
Right.
Because it's there. It lights the night sky. And often I think of that, and I think of how women's bodies, as they grow, they're giving life. And it doesn't mean, I mean, I'm so sick when I'm pregnant, and I don't enjoy being pregnant. I really don't. But I've had to, like, that is probably one of my biggest struggles.
Yeah.
Is every time to be like, I am so grateful for this pound. I'm so grateful for these stretch marks. I'm so grateful for these things because it means that I'm able to give life. And I love myself in this phase, you know, whatever it is.
And that's hard. But the more that we retrain that habitual way of thinking, the easier it will become. And like you said, in the last few years, you've been better about it. And that's because you've made a concerted effort towards that.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's not an overnight process. And it's something that if anybody listening feels like recognizes the need to change, and we can all do better.
Right.
There's been a few things that have been really helpful. And some of that is, you know, taping messages on my mirror.
Mm.
You know, where do you find that you, where is it that you're saying your I negative messages, you know, and find somewhere and tape on the mirror I positive. Another thing that I do with my girls every day in the morning as we're getting dressed is we have something that we say all together. And it often ends up into a discussion later on. Sometimes it's quick and hurried, right out the door, but we say, so I can say it.
Yeah, so say it.
You say, I am a daughter of a king. I am beautiful because I am kind and loving towards others. I am strong and I can do hard things. I choose happiness and to see good days.
And we say that
every day.
How did you come up with that?
Well, so, I mean, it's kind of long. It's grown a little bit here and there, but I've been really thoughtful about it. We've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, especially this last year as my daughter's been going to school. But as you know, I found that I needed a message to tell to myself regularly.
Mm.
And I also found that I wanted my daughters to say something to themselves every day that we had come up with together that they knew to be true.
Wow.
And so as we kind of we pieced it together from different things of what I want, what I find most important. And then as I And then if something strikes me, then I'll think about it for a long time before we add it. So most recently in the last few months, we added, I choose happiness, because it's something we're really working in our home. And we often, with my girls, we're all hormonal.
It's a lot of estrogen in that house. Yeah.
I found myself saying a lot, like, does this make you happy? Who chooses to be happy? And me, you know, like, so we talk about this. So I was like, all right, we need to add this at the end, you know, that I choose happiness. So, so it's been pieced together over a long period of time, but it's something that means a lot to me, and I love hearing even my two-year-old can almost say all of it, you know.
Wow.
And I hope that that's empowering to her, that, you know, that she knows that true beauty is something that comes from within and from looking out. Well, it comes from within, but it's also in looking outward, you know, and in loving yourself as you are.
I love that. That is such a great idea. And I've heard of other families who write mission statements and things like that.
Yes.
But to actually recite it on a daily basis,
that
just takes it to the next level. And,
I
mean, not in a bad way. Like, it keeps it on the forefront of your mind. Otherwise, it's just something you paste on the wall, you know?
Yeah, and it's been helpful for me because I think that, you know, one of my other friends was telling me of someone that was dear in their life who was having a really hard time with self-love, and her husband made her every day say in herself in the mirror that she loved herself the way that she was.
Hmm.
And she said that it was transformative.
Wow.
And I think that there is something, you know, even if you stop saying things verbally out loud that are negative, you need to replace that. You need to fill that well, and you need to train yourself of how to do the opposite, right? How to start saying positive things about yourself. Because I do, I want my daughters, I want my children to hear me saying that I love my body. I love the different parts of me and that they're beautiful to me, you know?
That doesn't mean that it's
not associated with a certain size or a certain look or a certain time in my life, you know?
Right. And it's going to look different at every stage and in every season. It's going to be constantly evolving. So if you just like love your 20s so much, you're going to resent getting older. You know, if you just cling too tightly to only what you think is so good right now. Because the fact is, like, something better could be just around the corner if we simply open our mind, expand our mind to that.
Yes. And it's, you know, you'll catch yourself. So even now, like I went to the store because I'm pregnant and I'm in San Diego for this pregnancy, which is the first time. And so I just didn't have any clothes that fit me. And so I went to the store and I was with all my girls and I was trying on something and I caught myself because I put the dress on and I looked at myself in the mirror and I almost said, I look terrible in this dress. Mm-hmm. And I started to say, and I said, I look, and my girls were looking at me and I caught myself in the moment and I said, this dress is not a good fit.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to lie.
Exactly. It doesn't mean you have to lie. And it also doesn't mean that, like, you know, things are not going to fit. Sometimes you're just having off days and you're like, oh, geez, you
not
know,
today.
But you can change how you say that message and saying
like
it out loud differently. It really does. It starts to trickle down to your brain and the way you see yourself. And
I love that. That's really important. I'm reading this book right now called Brazen, and the subtitle is The Courage to Find the You That's Been Hiding. And one of the parts talks about, they quote, Glennon Melton, where she says, beautiful means being full of beauty. Every time you observe beauty, you're filling yourself up with more and more and more beauty. Someone who is beautiful then is someone who fills up on beauty in this world, wherever she finds it. Enjoying the sea, reading to her kids, holding hands on a hike, laughing till she cries, ingesting poetry. Many of us have internalized the idea that being beautiful means taking up the smallest amount of space possible. Mary Pfeiffer talks about the danger of this notion in Reviving Ophelia. She believes part of anorexia, in her estimation, is a message to the world that says, I'll only take up a small amount of space. I won't get in the way. Do we want to teach our girls how to take up their God-appointed space in this world or only the smallest amount of space? And I love that. That's exactly what we're talking about. You know, it's like we don't want to teach our girls to be just wallflowers, you know? We don't want them to feel like being proud of themselves and whatever accomplishment or proud of their bodies. We don't want to make them feel like that is wrong. But that's kind of the message that we're being given. Like, we should always feel not quite good enough or somebody else is better.
Yes. And I think what I've learned from having so many dear friends who struggle with eating disorders, what I have learned from those is that it stems from something else. Like it may start from how they feel about food or their bodies, but it always becomes something deeper, or it's really always something more underneath. And so it really comes down to, you know, believing in yourself and loving yourself for who you are, and that And it's easy to base our self-love on accomplishments, on the way we look, on what we're accomplishing. But our self-love needs to stand apart from that.
Yes, I totally, totally agree with that. What do you think the reason is that it's so important to start? I mean, like you said, your little girl's only 2 years old and she's repeating this mantra every morning. Why are you starting so young, and why do we need to start so young?
Because the world says otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's so different, you know, and it's not even to say that, not like, I think some people don't mean to, but because I feel that most people have struggle with this, that this message is perpetuated. It's perpetuated in the media of women's self-worth being based on looks, and it's perpetuated in everyday messages everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, is that we can tell our children that they are beautiful, but if we can't show them self-love, then I think it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, and it totally does start in our home, and it matters the message we give to our children. But you know what? There are other influences. And when they're at school, they're going to be hearing different messages. And if you haven't started from the get-go instilling these values of self-love and confidence and morality and things like that, they're not going to know what to think about themselves, and they're going to listen to everybody else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sooner we can start so our children have the space, because they will struggle at points, because they are, I mean, my daughter's six and she's a kindergarten, and I'm sure I have way more to learn about this, you know, but I'm amazed at, even now, she will come home and people comment all the time on her looks, which doesn't bother me, but I find it fascinating that even as a kindergartner, at 6 years old, she picks up on that and recognizes that.
It is kind of a go-to, like, oh, she's so cute. Oh, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
If that's all you're highlighting, that's what you're teaching them is important, most important.
Right. And I think, you know, some people will go to the extreme, and so then they'll never say that you look beautiful. And I think that doesn't bother me when people say that, you know, but one thing I always when I'm complimenting others, I do try to say, like, you look beautiful and you are just radiant because of this.
Yeah.
You know, or, but it's just, it's amazing to me, the focus on that. So I feel like there's some emphasis on self-love. So for me, what's been really helpful is the emphasis on self-love and changing those I messages to I positive messages. And then if I'm having a really, really bad day, we all have bad days, then I try to stop myself and look outward, you know, and stop thinking about myself, you know, because it spirals, you know, and it spirals well, it spirals in a positive way or a negative way.
Yep.
You know, and so I think if you ever feel caught in that spiral, then I've noticed for me what is helpful is to remove myself from that thing and do something for someone else.
Absolutely.
And then at least at the end of that day, then I can say, today was a crummy day. I might not have showered. I might not have felt like I looked cute or felt good today, but I did this for somebody else.
Right.
You know, and that can be really helpful. There's an Audrey Hepburn quote that I love that says, for beautiful eyes, look for the good in others. For beautiful lips, speak only words of kindness. Mm. And for poise, walk with the knowledge that you are never alone.
That's beautiful. That's great. I should put that on my mirror. I like that.
I just think, you know, that it's that double, it's that balance of helping ourselves love ourselves inwardly, but also looking outwardly, you know, and I think that's why in the mantra we say with my girls is that, I am beautiful because I am kind and loving towards others, because I think that is something that you can accomplish almost every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're not feeling beautiful, find a way to be kind, and then you become beautiful is basically what you're saying in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
When, if you look throughout history, the women who are, done the most good, very rarely are they remembered for their beauty or quote unquote physical beauty. You know, there's one of my friends was joking with me. She says, I don't think that Eleanor Roosevelt was ever worried about her thigh gap or, you know, like those things. She was too busy worrying about what mattered.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And for some reason, our society's in a place that's evolved to where this suddenly matters a whole lot more than a lot of those things that used to matter. That should matter.
Yes, it's like, absolutely.
But it's our duty to teach that next generation and to help ourselves as well to teach what does matter and what does provide a lasting legacy. And beauty is not going to do that. But kindness and service, those things will.
Yes, absolutely. And as you do those things, learning to be gentle, and as you treat others, learning to treat yourself with that same dose of love and kindness.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. We're so much quicker to be able to give someone else that grace and not bestow that upon ourselves. And that's not right. And I mean, just because you start young with your kids, just like you've seen in yourself, like even after trying to raise, you know, your children with a great self-image, teenagers fall prey to this comparison game and not feeling like enough and everything. Do you have any just words of wisdom? I know you don't have teenagers yet, but words of wisdom for parents that might be struggling with a teenage daughter who is struggling with self-acceptance and self-love and self-image and things like that.
Well, I definitely do. I work with, in my church, I work with the young women.
Yeah.
This is not the first time. So it's something I really love. And having had so many friends at that stage who've had eating disorders, I think the biggest thing is to talk about it openly.
Yeah.
Talk about it openly. Don't shy away from it. They might not want to talk about it, but pretending that it doesn't exist is not the solution.
Or like, so it's first, not a big deal. Sometimes we downplay it like, oh, it's not the big of a deal that I think this or that they're saying this about themselves.
Yes.
Give it its due importance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you can start small. So for example, there's someone I know who we're working on this right now, who's a teenager, and we kind of play a little game. So you kind of have to pick what is the thing to start with, because it's not going to change overnight. And if they are struggling with this, then it's a process that you want to be up front and talk about it, but you also have to accept small victories, you know? And so say like you have someone who is constantly saying I negative messages out loud.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that you can do is you can play a game or something, you know, like where like, okay, I'm gonna beep whenever you say that negative message, and then I will say something that I love about you, and you need to say something that you love about yourself.
Mm.
You know, and so when they see it, and so then you're at least helping them become aware of how often they say the negative message and helping them to replace that with positive. And maybe that's not the goal. Like, you need to, you know, really think, you know, thoughtful.
Yeah.
About how you can approach this. And you don't want to do it in a way that they're going to be offended and upset, you know. So obviously the key is to loving them for how they are.
Yeah.
And if, you know, sometimes girls are struggling with their weight at that age because they're coming through puberty. And so, for example, saying to them like, hey, let's do Weight Watchers together. That's not a solution, you know, like that would be a negative solution, but instead saying like, hey, like maybe there's a balanced approach we can take to this, you know, let's set a goal and challenge, like come up with challenges and rewards. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're close enough with them, otherwise, you know, say positive things to them, but also express to them that you notice that they struggle with this and that you would like to help them and help them learn to recognize that in themselves. Because sometimes they really will be struggling, but I think as teenagers, their brains are still growing and sometimes they can't pinpoint, whoa, I'm saying this negative about myself and I don't even realize I'm saying these negative things about myself.
Or they don't even know there's an alternative.
Right.
They think that's just the way being a teenager is, and these thoughts are just what they are.
Absolutely. And so I think that challenging them and doing it with them together in a loving way and being thoughtful, I'm positive that you can find, if this is something you're struggling with, I'm positive that you can find a way that will work, that you can work on it together and start small
mm-hmm.
and work up, you know, and if it really is something that you're worried about, I would seek professional help. Like I would mm-hmm. not, because what I notice in my friends that really, really struggled is they got into more serious issues. I mean, very serious issues is that they waited too long to seek professional help until it was too damaging.
Right. Absolutely.
And there's no shame. There's no shame in reaching out and trying to get even more help for them.
Yeah. And I mean, this whole month on the podcast has been dedicated to maternal mental health. And so it's important to be able to kind of normalize that conversation and realize it's never too soon to get help. Like you may not know for certain if you're struggling with depression or anxiety or some other mental issue, but leave that up to the professionals. What does it hurt to go in and have a consultation and just say, this is how I'm feeling. Does this sound normal? Does this sound typical? Yeah. Or if it's not, what are my options? Just kind of explore that and don't feel shame around that. And I think when we are struggling with self-image issues and when we're hard on our body, especially soon after we have a baby, that can really contribute to mental health struggles. And not that it will necessarily cause them, but it will definitely exacerbate ones that
Absolutely.
Are there.
Yes, or trickle down until it becomes more of an issue and becomes part of why we're mentally struggling.
Yes, exactly. And so we have to be able to be aware of the ability we have to release these thoughts, and not only release these thoughts, but replace them.
Yes.
With positive ones. I love
and good habits, because it comes down to habits, right? Mm-hmm. And habits that you don't even realize that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think I'm so grateful that I had that epiphany when I had my first daughter in that moment. But I like some part of me wishes like, man, I really wish I'd like realized this when I was in college.
Yeah.
You know, and sooner on, I had all those really dear friends who struggled with it. And for as much as helping them, I wasn't being a good role model or working on it myself.
Yeah. No.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard to have perspective. You know, it's when you're in high school, college age, no matter what people are telling you, I don't know, our brains just aren't really in a place to like accept what we're being told.
Yes. Well, and I think too, I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I didn't really hear this being talked about at all when I was in college or in high school. And I'm so hopeful that more and more people will talk about this and that we can change the tide, you know, that we can help it so that as the best that we can do, that our daughters will not struggle with this in the way that we did. And maybe they will, but it'll be a little less. And then their daughters will, you know, be even better. You know, it trickles. It's a trickle in our own lives and it's a trickle in others, you know, but and it takes time. It's a constant, constant effort.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important responsibility as a mother to all girls. Well, now you're going to have your little boy, which is awesome. Yeah. But, you know,
that's, but also to him, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, exactly. I have three boys, and people ask all the time, like, are you so bummed you don't have girls? And I say, no way, because I feel it a great responsibility to raise men that value women and that other mothers are going to want their daughters to marry. And so it's up to me. They may not have these same types of self-image issues. Usually boys think they're awesome, usually. But
yes.
Teaching them to value the right things and to speak to women a certain way and to empathize with, you know, the struggles that, you know, their future wives might be having. You know, raising Absolutely. Men that are sensitive to these types of things, I think, is an important calling. So while I may not have that same role that you have with your daughters, I have my own role with my sons.
Well, and I think also raising men who will see the beauty of women in all shapes and sizes, exactly like you're saying, you know, like I think what has been one of the most beautiful parts to me is being pregnant and my husband telling me how beautiful I looked as I'm, you know, 50 pounds overweight, or not overweight, 50 pounds into that pregnancy of what I needed to gain, you know, and see there, see, I'm constantly catching myself. I'm very aware, and I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
So I'll say that and I'll be like, oh my gosh, no, you know, it's so ingrained in our culture.
It's an important job we've been given and our bodies adapt, you know, like we were created to give life. And so it's important to be able to accept what needs to happen to our body in order to achieve that goal.
Yes. And I think the other thing that's been helpful to me is I remember in postpartum, you know, as I was thinking about, well, it took me 9 out of 10 months to gain all this weight to be able to give birth to my daughter. And then realizing that I needed that weight for the next 9 or 10 months to give life to her in nursing and changing that mindset for myself, you know, because people would be like, oh, nurse the weight off or, you know, get the, you know, hurry right after having that baby to get the weight down, you know? And so that was helpful too, like a mental switch that I've had to make inside myself is that these pounds, I needed them to be able to sustain that life afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a different experience for every single person postpartum, you know, and we need to give people some room just to like live and adjust and, and not feel judged.
And to, again, not base your self-worth or beauty on the pounds that you have or where you are even as a person, you know, but that you love yourself the same. Hopefully, ideally, we can each learn to love ourselves the day we feel the way we're about to give birth as we do when our child is two or, you know, and we've recovered from the journey we've had in giving life, you know, and I hope that we can see ourselves in the same light. And I'm still working on that, obviously, you know, but yeah. I hope that each woman can see themselves in that same light and love themselves in the same love. And it's not based on any of the way our body is.
Yeah. And I think we'll all always be working on it. I don't think there ever comes a time where maybe you have a great day where you, you know, very consistently felt great about yourself, but, you can't just coast on that for the rest of your life. You never get there and stay there. So it's a constant effort. It's not about being perfect in those thoughts or being perfect in the way that we speak about ourselves. It's about making an effort. And that's where it starts, is just making an effort. And it always, to me, it always goes back to, how do you want your children to remember you? And if you are so wrapped up in dieting and shedding the pounds and looking a certain way, or, you know, and it can become other obsessions as well, you know, but any of those things that take you away from being a loving, present, fun, funny mom, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be that mom. It's not worth it to me to be 5 pounds thinner, but to be taken away from them because I'm so wrapped up in trying to lose that weight, or I'm so hungry that I'm angry all the time. You know?
Yes, or don't have energy to play with them.
Right. That's not worth it to me. And so if you could just let that go, imagine what a free feeling that would be.
And the good news is, it doesn't matter where you are in your journey, you can start today.
Yes.
Start today.
Yep.
You can improve today. It really is making the decision.
Yep.
And the promise to yourself, and then working hard and letting other people know so they can help you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's not like a New Year's resolution. We're like, okay, in January, I'm going to start loving myself. You know?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Or even next month, you know, when I'm not doing this, then I'll learn to love myself. And you start where you are today, and I'll do a little better.
Yeah. I love this message. And I feel like so many of the listeners needed to hear that today. I know that I did. And while I totally agree with everything you're saying and believe it, I too need to continue working on it. You know, I can believe something, but until I like put it into action, it's nothing, you know? So I love that message.
Well, we all can work on it. And one thing I'd say, on a website. So in February we did a self-love challenge, and there is a packet that if anybody really specifically needs help, if you go to thesmallseed.com, there is a whole, we do this challenge every February, and this last February was the first time we had done it.
Nice.
But it's something that you can do, that it's just about learning to love yourself. And you can go download the packet, and it has challenges in it, and kind of helpful, you know, if you're working on this journey.
I love that. That's a great resource. And as always, you put out such wonderful, inspiring content on social media. Tell people where they can follow you.
Just on Instagram at melanieburk.com, Burke with no E. B-U-R-K, that's always the common error. And or my website, melanieburk.com.
That's perfect. So what's next for you, Melanie? You know, you're cooking a baby and trying to not be so sick, even though it's hard.
Yes. I think I'm in a really fun place where I'm just kind of focusing on getting ready for this baby. And I'm asking myself that same question, what's next?
Yeah.
But for now, I'm just enjoying the journey and enjoying where I'm at.
That is a perfect answer. And for someone that's so accomplished, I think that's great to hear from you. You know, you could keep shooting, keep going. But to be able to be in a space where you're like, right now, I am so good living this life that I have right in front of me. You're living the dream. You know?
Well, thank you.
That's great.
It's not without it. You know, we all have our days, and there's days where I'm like, what's next? But I think the biggest thing about motherhood is it does teach you to slow down.
Yeah.
And there's all these messages about like, do it today. Otherwise, you know, don't put it off for the next day. And sometimes I feel like that. And sometimes I just think today, you know, we will just be.
Yeah. I feel that way about cleaning up toys. Like at the end of the day, I'm just like, I feel like I should clean up, but instead I'm going to read. Because they're going to get them all out tomorrow, you know?
Yes, yes.
You just have to pick.
And just enjoy it. Yep.
It's so true.
Day at a time.
That's so true. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I would tell myself to just be and to love myself, you know, in all the good days and the bad, and that to not overstress any one thing, because, you know, kind of what we were talking about in that last question, that there's always time to grow and improve and get things done, and that there's a good balance between hustling and getting things done and also loving the moment and loving where you're at and serving others. And oftentimes the things that are most important in life, which are people and service, those are the things that can't be measured. Yeah. And you can't always cross off your list. But that is what's most important. And as the older I get, the more I see that that is what gives my life meaning.
That's beautiful, Melanie. What a great way to wrap up. And I feel like the more that, like, talking to you today and this pursuit of just self-acceptance, I feel like I'm a little more encouraged to love myself. You know, so I think when we're speaking highly of ourselves and when we show grace to ourselves, it's going to inspire others to do the same. And we want to cultivate that kind of culture.
Absolutely. And yeah. Being able to genuinely say, I love these things about myself, and, right. and have something that is true,
right.
that you do love it. You're not just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking the time, Melanie. This is such an important message. Yeah. And you just express yourself so beautifully and have such wisdom to share. And I'm just really grateful that you took the time to share your journey.
Thank you for having me. It was such a joy.
Yay. Thanks, Melanie. Have an awesome day.
Thanks.
Bye. After talking with Melanie, I was so encouraged, and I mean, I was not joking. From speaking with her, I just felt such a greater love for myself and realizing we're all in this together, we're all on this journey, and nobody's perfect in the way that we talk to ourselves or think about ourselves, but as long as we're putting in the effort to think a little more of ourselves and to start to believe that we really are extraordinary and we're doing extraordinary work, the more we can tell that to ourselves, the more we're going to start to believe it. So I want to thank Melanie again for sharing her journey. And if you go to the website, she is so kind that she has sent over some free downloads to kind of help you on this journey of self-love and self-acceptance. And you can definitely visit her website as well and the Small Seed to get that packet on choosing self-love. So I want to thank you today for tuning in. And as always, you can follow me on Instagram, JessicaDahlquist3, on our Facebook page, Extraordinary Moms Podcast, or you can head over to our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com, and get all the information from this episode and past episodes. Thank you if you've left a rating or review on iTunes. That means so much to me, and it helps more moms find the podcast. I'll see you on Friday for another awesome episode with another extraordinary mom.